Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good to be with you this morning. I invite you to turn to Psalm 130. We are going to finish the last few verses of this psalm today as we prepare for our time of confession. I'm going to read the entire psalm, and we will give our attention to verses 7 and 8. Hear now the word of God. A song of ascents. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Amen. Well, as we return to this psalm one last time, I have said previously that this is a hope-giving psalm. It is a psalm of hope for those that feel themselves to be in the depths, whether the depths of affliction or the depths of sin, and as we've said before, those mix together in our experience in all different kinds of ways. And it is a most fitting psalm to bring to our times of confession because the exhortation of the psalm is in verse 7. That's where the psalm concludes by telling us, the people of God, saying, Israel, the people of God, hope in the Lord. That's the message for us. And the psalmist gives some different foundations for this hope. He says you need to hope in the Lord, and then the question would be, why should we hope in the Lord? Why should we have confident hope that God will redeem us from our sins? Well, there are a few reasons. First of all, the psalmist gives two characteristics, two descriptions about the character of our God. It says, with the Lord there is mercy, and with the Lord there is abundant redemption. I've been meditating on that phrase, abundant redemption. Don't you love those words? I encourage you to add those words to your meditation roster. If you have a meditation roster, that should be on it. Abundant redemption. And in addition to those descriptions of the character of our God, there is a promise. It describes God's commitment. It's in this verb. It says, he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. All of them. Abundant redemption, God's commitment to deliver his people out of all their iniquities. This gives us hope. It has been my observation that one of the greatest challenges to our faith is to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient to redeem us from all our sins. Sometimes we think, Jesus is sufficient to redeem me from certain minor sins, but maybe this big one he just can't handle. It's terrible to say such a thing, right? But it is the reality of the struggle of faith that we sometimes experience. We couldn't creedally say that, but then do we believe that? Do we believe Jesus is not sufficient to save us from certain sins? Remember that the word redemption means more than just forgiveness. Praise be to God, it includes forgiveness. But it's bigger than that. This is the word that was used when God said, I'm going to redeem my people from Egypt. The slavery, the bondage, the death of their situation in Egypt, God says, I'm going to redeem you with a mighty hand and a strong arm. So God is saying in Psalm 130, I am committed to redeeming my people from their sins. I'm going to forgive them of their sins. I'm going to break the yoke and the bondage of those sins. I'm going to bring them out of it into the freedom of the promised land that he has given to us. Now, if this is God's commitment, do you believe that he will accomplish it? This is what he's promised to do. We know that God is going to fulfill what he has promised to do because we have seen his commitment in the work of Jesus Christ. Listen to these words from the Word of God concerning the work of Christ for us. He, that is Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. In another passage from the Word of God, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." What do we see here? Jesus, he intercedes for his people forever, and he has brought into the throne room of heaven this one sacrifice, and it is a perfect sacrifice, and it perfects forever those who are being made holy right now. By his perfect sacrifice and by his continual intercession, our Lord Jesus will not fail in his mission to redeem his people from all their iniquities. So perhaps you feel that you're in the depths, just as the psalmist is. And perhaps you feel that if God were to mark your iniquities, you could not stand. And if you're in that position, that is good, because that is the heart of the psalmist. The psalmist has a very sober view of his sin. He realizes that he is utterly destitute and hopeless apart from God's redemption. That's an important place to come to. But then what Psalm 130 concludes with is, if you've recognized that you are in the depths, if you've recognized that you could never stand before the judgment seat of God on your own, why can we have hope? Because with the Lord there is abundant redemption. What Psalm 130 is saying is that the storehouses of God's grace in Christ never run dry. They never run out. There is no sinner who draws near to God through Christ who is ever turned away. Never is the message given to say, "There's not enough grace for you." No, brothers and sisters, the unsearchable riches of Christ never run out. And maybe your present doubts are, "I just don't know if God can save me out of this. I just don't know if the Lord Jesus' redeeming work is sufficient for this." But I'm here to tell you to believe the word of God, that the promise here is that he's going to redeem his people out of all their sins. The blood of Christ is efficacious to accomplish that mission. And so, brothers and sisters, let us draw near to the throne of grace this morning, confessing our sins, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Let's pray. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this promise that you are committed to the redemption of your people. And what hope this gives us, we praise you also for being a God who is merciful and who has abundant redemption stored up for needy, destitute sinners like us. And we confess you, Lord Jesus, to be our high priest who has passed through the heavens, our high priest who is able to save us to the uttermost. Grant us your help. By your redemption, redeem us each from the guilt and the bondage of our sins. Forgive us, free us, and enable us to walk in newness of life. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins to the Lord.